I have to thank everyone for joining me. The issue that I want to approach with a fresh new start is the question of bitachon and hishtadlus. To what extent does a person rely on God? And to what extent does a person do what he has to do, al pi derech hateva, based on nature, and follow through with the steps? And this is something that's relevant to us on a daily basis, every moment of our lives. And for young men and young women who are deciding their future in terms of what field to go into, or whether to sit and learn, how to organize that. And what I'd like to start with is the following question. And I prepared this over the course of years. So what you're seeing here is a collection of Makomos that I've been working on and studying for a long time. For the Kollel, I want to say that you, if you'll be keen about it, sharp about it, you could make 5 shiurim out of this. There's just so many different elements, different dimensions. So it's good material. The first question I want to address is the Ramban's view of Avraham Avinu. Who was Avraham Avinu in the mind of the Ramban? And when we try to conjure up an image of the personality, the character of Avraham Avinu, we'll see two Rambans that I think contradict each other, at least at the face of it. There's a Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram. Hayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha. And Hashem tells Avram, instructs him to make the trek to Eretz Canaan. And that's going to be his land. And Avram complies with the will of God. Vayikach Avram, he takes Sarai, he takes Lot, he takes everything that he has, his whole entourage, and he lands in Eretz Canaan. And what happens then? The next episode recorded in the Torah is Vayihi Ra'av Ba'aretz. There's a famine in the land. How does Avram Avinu respond to the famine in the land, especially in the light of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to settle in Eretz Canaan? He's got a divine command to live in Eretz Canaan, and now there's a Ra'av, there's a famine. He's got to support his family, he's got to maintain some sense of livelihood. What does he do in this situation? And the Torah records that Avraham Avinu decided to leave Eretz Canaan, Vayered Avraham Mitzrayim, he goes to Mitzrayim. The Ramban is very meticulous about the step-by-step process, the episode that took place after Avram reaches Mitzrayim. Avram turns to Sarai and he says to Hine Yodati ki Isha Yifas Mara'at, and therefore your life is in danger, the Mitzrayim may take you away, and so forth and so on. They may kill me in order to take you, and so forth. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, in the middle of the night, and he starts smiting him with Negoyim. And the Ramban is going to implement the very famous principle of the Ramban that he uses over and over again in Sefer Bereishis, Maisa Ovo Sima Labanim. Every single plot, every detail in this sequence of events that took place in the life of Avram and Sarah foretells what's going to happen to Bnei Banov, to his descendants when they go to Mitzrayim. And the Ramban goes through every piece. He says, Hine Avram yarad leMitzrayim mipnei ra'av lagur shom lahachyos nafsho bimei habatzores haMitzrim ashku oso. He was subjugated, pressured, and persecuted by the Mitzrim, chinam, for no justified reason. Lakacha says ishto, they took away his wife. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikem nikmasam binigayim gedolim. Negayim Gedolim. I mean, you can see the whole history of Yeridas Avoseinu Mitzrayim. Votziyum Misham b'mikne b'kesef uzav. At the end of the entire episode, Avram Avinu leaves Mitzrayim with great wealth. V'gam tziva olav Paro anoshim l'shalcho. Paro tells his officers to make sure that Avram leaves the land. V'ramaz elav, says the Ramban, ki bonav yeredu Mitzrayim. Mipnei Ra'av, you remember that Yaakov eventually goes down to Mitzrayim because of the famine in the land. Lagar Sham Baretz, and they live in the land of Mitzrayim. And the Ramban goes on and on and on through every detail how it is mirror imaged in the story of Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim until they finally achieve the Geula, the redemption from Mitzrayim. Now this Maisa Avos Sima Labanim is a very important introduction to the next paragraph in the Ramban, which starts with the word Vida.
Is the Ramban the first person to mention this concept?
Yeah, he has a medrash, one medrash chazal that's tucked away, and he converted it into a science, into a system. And he applied it over and over again. I once compiled 16 places that I found in which the Ramban activates the principle of Maisa Avos Sima Labanim. In this case, it's so appropriate. You know, when you see blow by blow how the experience of Avraham going down to Mitzrayim parallels Klal Yisrael and everything corresponds. It's absolutely striking. But it was really the Ramban who broke new ground with this principle. But as I said, this is going to be the segue into the next paragraph in the Ramban that starts with the word Vidat. Because at this juncture, the Ramban has a revolution of sorts. He throws us what I would call a curveball in terms of our understanding of Avraham Avinu, the father of our Ummah, about which we say that we are his children. We have one of the first of the tfilos of Shema Esrei is dedicated to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the greatest. And yet, look at this next Ramban. If this doesn't send a shudder through your shoulders, I don't know what will. Vida ki Avraham Avinu chata chait gadol. I'm going to skip the next word for a moment because the Ramban mitigates it a little bit. He says, "Shehevi ishto hatzadekes b'michshol avon mifnei pachto pen yargeu." What motivates Avraham Avinu, and he subjects his wife to a tremendous jeopardy, a life-threatening danger, is his pachad, his fear. Ve'hayelo livtoach b'Hashem. I bolded this for emphasis. Avraham is deficient in a certain midah, and the Ramban is very explicit about it. What midah is that? Bitachon, he's missing bitachon. Hayalo livtoach b'Hashem sheyatzilo soves ishto. God is Almighty. God is infinite. He's omnipotent. Does he lack the ability to save Avraham Avinu, to protect him? Ki yesh belokim koach la'azor la'tzil. God has the power to aid and to save. And that's only one half of the lack of bitachon. The second half is gam yitziyosu min ha'aretz. And because of his pachad, because if he's afraid of the famine, he leaves the land of Israel. He was commanded to settle in Eretz Canaan, and he leaves. This is a sin on the part of Avraham Avinu. Helokim berov yiftenu mimavas. He quotes Pasuk Tanakh. God will save man from famine. Now, why did I emphasize the introductory part of this section of the Ramban of Maisa Avos Sima Labanim? Because take a look at how the Ramban ties this all together in a very neat package. He says, "V'ala Maisa Hazeh, because of Avram's great sin, Nigzar Al Zaro Hagolus Bi Eretz Mitzrayim Biad Paro." I can tell you that there's no coincidence, says the Ramban, between the fact that Avram's sin was by leaving Eretz Canaan and going down to Mitzrayim, and the fact that Maisa Avos Sima Labanim, Avraham Avinu's descendants, will suffer tremendously in the exile of Egypt. It's not coincidental. Because b'makom ha-mishpat, wherever you see punishment being meted out, you identify, you pinpoint the location, shama ha-resha v'chet, that's where the sin took place. The Ramban says that the location of punishment corresponds to the location of the sin. Since Bnei Yisrael were punished where? In Mitzrayim, it must be, where was the sin in Mitzrayim? What sin did they take? Did they do in Mitzrayim? And the answer is Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu, out of fear, left Eretz Canaan, exposed his wife to tremendous danger, without bitachon. The Ramban mitigates it a little bit. He calls it shkagah. You know, let's not accuse Avraham Avinu of being a mason. This is not something that, you know, we could take him into a court of law, Bezin Shalmata, and punish him. He doesn't get Malkus here. But nevertheless, it's a shkaga. You can only justify it by saying that Avraham Avinu wasn't careful. It was carelessness. We could call it in Hilchos Shomrim a pshia. Call it a shkaga. But it's a chet gadol. Such a chet gadol that it's going to have repercussions for generations to come. Golus Mitzrayim. So you begin to get a vision of who Avraham is in the eyes of Father Ramban. Rashi doesn't take this approach. Let's go back upstairs to Rashi. Rashi says, Ra'av Ba'aretz, why does the Torah emphasize that there was a famine in that land? Rashi learns like a Hey Ayidia, Ba'aretz Hazos, Bi'osa Aretz Levada, only in that land. Nowhere on the face of the earth was there famine except in Eretz Canaan. And why? Linasoso. This was one of the 10 nisyonos, the challenges that would face Avraham in belief and faith. And what was the nisayon? The Ramban would say the nisayon was, would he stay in Eretz Canaan, where he was meant to stay, and not have any fear to rely on Hashem? No, says Rashi, Linasoso in Yaharer Achar Dvarv, is he going to have questions about God? Yesterday you told me, you're causing me, Rabosai, give me a hint. Give me an idea. Where do you see this kind of language in Rashi in a different context related to Avraham Avinu? That Avraham is challenged, would he be maharher? Would he have doubts about a contradiction between two commands that he got from God? Kate, excellent. Why didn't Avraham come forward and ask Akasha? Yesterday you told me, Kibi Yitzchak Yikarol Chazorah. And today you're telling me, Kachnas Binchas Yitzchak Chavalei Shavliola. And Avraham Avinu doesn't even ask the question. He's not Mahara Achar Midos of Shalai Kodesh Baruch. Says Rashi, here too, there were two tzivuyim. One was explicit verbal, the other was implicit because of the situation, the conditions that persisted. But nevertheless, it's no less of a contradiction. You're telling me A and not A. You're telling me to live in Eretz Canaan, dwell therein, and you're telling me to leave Eretz Canaan because of the famine. So was Avraham Avinu, according to Rashi, commanded to leave Eretz Canaan? The answer is yes. But the challenge is, will he be Mahara and ask the Kasha? And Avraham Avinu passed the test with flying colors. He didn't ask the Kasha, yesterday you told me this, and today you're doing this. Masio Eitz Alotzeis Menorahs. So there's a fundamental machlokas here as to whether Avraham's response to the famine was a chet, or was it on the contrary? Was it the mitzvah that he was doing? Rashi understands that he was doing what he has to do. The challenge was, would he have any questions about it? And he didn't have any questions about it. Whereas the Ramban learns that the challenge was, would he remain in Eretz Canaan despite the difficulty, despite the famine, rely on God, that God will save him? Doesn't God have the power to save him?
So Rashi doesn't hold from the idea that the punishment takes place in the location.
Rashi doesn't have that whole business. He's not working with myself, the Simul and Bonim. He's not working with the fact that the Golus in Mitzrayim for 210 bitter years was a punishment for Avraham Avinu's lack of bitachon. None of that is on Rashi's radar screen. It's all around Ramban's Chiddush. According to Rashi, the whole issue of Ayihi Rav Baretz is the challenge. Would Avraham ask a kasha? Would he have questions about the divine providence? He did not. And therefore, Avraham Avinu deserves accolades according to Rashi as passing one of the 10 tests that he had to pass. And the Ramban says, no, he was lakui, he was deficient in the meat of bitachon.
Is there a difference between asking a question and acting in a certain way? If he had asked the question but still acted in a way that demonstrated his bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam, doesn't that count?
Yeah, it would certainly give him brownie points, but the issue according to Rashi is, would he question God's divine understanding and wisdom. Would he have a question on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I don't understand, you're telling me this, now you're doing this. Something doesn't make sense here, God. That Avraham Avinu's super duper level of Amunah requires him to accept what we call Bitul Atzmi, even without asking the question. But my focal point here, as I said at the outset, is to get a picture of who Avraham Avinu is in the vision of the Ramban. Because I'll tell you honestly, when I think about the Mida Bitachon, again, something that we're all working on, it's not simple, you know, to live in a natural world and have faith and trust in God, you know, everything's going to work out. You know, that is a religious challenge. But we're all working on Bitachon. Here's a case which in the Ramban's frame of reference is basic. The situation is fundamental to require a person to be Bitachon. After all, God told you to stay in the land. This is where you're meant to dwell. Do you have issues with God's ability to save you? The answer is you're not relying on God. You know, I begin to get a feeling, and again, as I say, it sends a shudder through my body, that the Ramban is not a great fan of Avraham Avinu. You know what I'm saying? Which is so sad, which undermines everything that I come to the table with.
Isn't there the tendency
of I don't know. This is one of Avraham's failures. You know, we're all human, and Avraham Avinu is a human being. You know, the scholars in Tanakh have this whole debate about whether or not the Avos has portrayed the Avos, and all the greats throughout the personalities throughout Tanakh are human beings. Are they flesh and blood, or are they angels? You know, and Chazal view Avraham Avinu as the greatest. The Ramban is almost introducing a human element here. Hey, Bitachon is so basic of a demand. This is not something that's, you know, designated for the few super pious Jews, you know, the great, the Rashi Bahags, you know, we expect Reb Chaim Kanevsky and Bnei Brak to have Bitachon. But you and I? No, Bitachon is required for every single Jew. We raise our children with a sense of Bitachon. It's fundamental. And that's why it shocks me to no end that, according to Ramban's perspective, Avraham was lacking, was deficient in Bitachon. But Rabosa, what I'd like to tell you here today is that if you look at this Ramban, and only this Ramban, you are getting a partial view, a very circumscribed, myopic view of who Avraham is in the eyes of the Ramban. Listen.
From the Ribbish study, saying that it was a shege, it doesn't seem to be that he didn't have Bitachon, it's just he was mistaken in what was required of him. And if he would have known that he should have done this, obviously he would have. He was able to sacrifice himself.
But you're going to have to push the following into the language of the Ramban. For Hayolo Liftoch Hashem, and he didn't know that Hayolo Liftoch Hashem.
Otherwise, it's not Shogeg. That's amazing.
No, I think the word Shogeg here just means that he's not punishable. You know, it's not amazing in the classical sense. Yeah, he didn't rebel against God openly. He was lacking in the Midah Bitachon. In any event, I'd like to see the broader picture, as I started with. What is the Ramban's view? What is his vision of Avraham Avinu? Let's fast forward to Parshas Chayisara. You remember, of course, that it was time to find a marriage partner for Yitzchak Avinu. So Avraham Avinu sends Eliezer Eved Avraham with all the camels, and he's on his way to find Rivka. And you can go through the psukim, you all know the psukim, it's not necessary to read them inside. But there's one pasuk that seems very boring and very insignificant and secondary, but I want to call your attention to it. Because it opens up another machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. As soon as Lavan and Besuel invite Eliezer, Eved Avraham, to come into the ohel, to come into the house, it says, Vayavo ha'ish ha'boisa, this is Pasuk Lamed Beis in Perikov Dalet, and it says, Vayfatach ha'gmalim, he opened or loosened the camels, and Vayite teven u'mispo l'gmalim u'mayim, blah, blah, blah. Fine. So what is this word, Vayfatach ha'gmalim, referring to? Right, again, you know, it doesn't sound so exciting, it doesn't sound so dramatic. This is on page 1, and it should be your fifth paragraph. We'll come back to the Mishnah and Avos a little bit later, the Limeder. But do you see the fifth paragraph down from the top? Rashi, Parshas Chayisara. You have that? Vayifatav, says Rashi, hitir zamam shalahem. Can anybody tell me what the word zamam means? A muzzle, correct? He loosened the muzzles of the camels. Big deal. Who cares, as we would say, you know, like, this has to be in the Torah, and that's like the that Eliezer loosened the muzzles around the camels' mouths. And for Rashi, this is very important. Why? Shoyes so same as PM, the Torah wants to hint to us that the muzzling of the camel was a deliberate act on a behavior of Avram Avinu, which was followed, of course, by Eliezer Eved Avram, Shelo Yiru Badarech Besado Sachir. What was the fear of Avram Avinu if the camels would go unmuzzled? Eat from the graze of the pasture of other fields that belong to other people and violate what? Gezel. This would be Gezel. To avoid Gezel, they muzzle the camels. That's how Rashi learns the parasha. I like it. It seems, you know, how should I say, it doesn't insult anybody, it doesn't insult my intelligence, I like it, you know, it says my fatah hakvolim, and I wouldn't have gotten excited about this. And the Ramban goes absolutely ballistic against this Rashi. He finds this Rashi absolutely intolerable. The very havamina that Avram's camels were muzzled or had to be muzzled insults the Ramban. The Ramban is insulted by that. Not personally, but on behalf of the honor of Avram Avinu, the owner of the camels. And the Ramban says the following. He says, "Inyan vayifatach hagmol." If you not want to know what vayifatach means here, shepotach mosero tzavorom. There were leashes or harnesses around the camel's neck, and he had to open them. Ki minag laholchem kshurim. He says, because those who take animals, they have to tie them down, otherwise the animals can fly off. Or perhaps there was a belt or a saddle that was tied to the sitting part where the rider would sit. And he quotes Psukim in Tanakh to prove this. And that's what had to be removed. The saddles or the reins of the camels were removed. Then he quotes Rashi. Says the Ramban, Rashi got this from a Medrash. The Medrash in Brachos Rabbah says, Hitirz Mamehem. It starts with Rashi's Pshat, but it doesn't end there. Let's read the next half of the same Chazal, the same Medrash. Rav Huna, Shal Rabbi Chia, Lo Hayu Gmalav Shal Avram Avinu, Domim Lechamoro Shal Pinchas Ben Yair. Can we not make the equation between the camels of Abraham and the donkeys of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, one of the great Tanoim? And that's the end of the Medrash. Vizu, says the Ramban, Vizu She'ela, and that question which is raised by Rav Huna, She'ela listar pituach hazomam. It's so sir, completely undermines the interpretation of Rashi. Yeah. We'll get to it. That's the Gemara Chulin that you'll see in the next source. So what's going on over here? The Ramban is bothered by a comparison in his mind between the Chamoro Shel Pinchas Ben Yair and the camels and the Gmalim of Avram Avinu. What is this analogy all about? So the Gemara tells us in Chulin, in a number of places, on Daf Hey, Daf Vav, Daf Zayin, it's like a long sugya. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takola al yidei behemtom shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not bring about any sort of violation of any mitzvah in the Torah, not only through a tzadik, but even through the animals of a tzadik. And the Gemara goes on to tell us how the animals of Pinchas ben Yair, his donkeys, because they were connected to the tzaddik, to Rav Pinchas ben Yair, therefore they would do no evil. And the Gemara, based on that principle, has a lot of cases. I'll give you one particular case. There are many cases. The Gemara has a case where Rav Zera and Rav Asi were eating together at a certain funduk. Rashi says this inn was in a city called Di'i, and it was populated by Amei Ha'aretz, by ignoramuses. What were the ignoramuses gauged by in those times? Shoyu chashudim al admar. They did not take off maser meticulously. And this whole sugya of Rav Zeira, the story of Rav Zeira and Rav Asi at that inn in a place called Di, is all brought down here because the Gemara wants to illustrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not bring any sort of takola through a tzaddik. So they brought him eggs that were dipped in wine. They had a nice wine sauce. This is for the connoisseurs. And Rabbi Zeir didn't eat it because the wine needed hafrashas trumas and maisrus, and this was dmai. Dmai means you don't know if the amoritz took off trumas and maisrus. Rav Asi ochal. Rav Asi enjoyed it. Omalei Rav Zeir or Rav Asi v'lo choshash mar l'taroves. In other words, if dmai is osur, then even b'taroves it's osur. Oh, you have to know if there's shishim, if it's a dover on all same time, a dover on maimik, whatever it might be, but there was no bittul here in the taroves. So at first, Rav Zeira responded by saying, Lava datoy, you know what? Thanks for calling it to my attention. I didn't pay attention. I didn't think. He saw the beautiful eggs that were laid out in front of me. He didn't realize, wait a minute, they're dipped in wine. Maybe he didn't realize that it's dmai. He got a little... Amalei Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says, no, this is impossible. We've got to derive some halachic conclusion from the fact that Rav Asi ate these eggs. Efshar gozer al tarovis dmai? Could it be that there was a gzera not only on dmai itself, but even on dmai when it gets mixed up, when it's not be'en? Umistayeh Mil said something happened to Rav Asi lemechal isura, and Rav Asi through this accident would eat isur. Hashta now behemta chal tzadikim ein hakadosh baruch hu maybe takol al yodam tzadikim asim lo kolshkein. Nofak Rav Zeira dok viashkach, he found a mishnah that dmai is only usur be'en but not b'tarovus. When the Chazal made it a takon of dmai, even though rov hameyor it's masrim heim, but because of the miyut they were koshish for dmai, they did not go as far as to include tarovus. Which reminds me of Sugya Pesachim about Chomet Shavu Levav Pesach, which is only also Be'en, but not B'tarovus. There are many things the Chazal asked when it's Be'en, you can identify it, but not when it's mixed. So this is how the Gemara develops. And then who are the Behemtom Shal Tzadikim? What's the paradigm case of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takol Yidei Behemtom Shal Tzadikim? That's the case of Chamuro Shara Pinchas Ben Yair. And Pinchas Ben Yair found no need l'hishtamim en advarim asurim l'bayil of l'achilo. There was no question that the chamar of Pinchas Ben Yair would never chas v'sholom, again these are donkeys, would never chas v'sholom partake of anything that's awesome. Says the Ramban, I have a kal v'chomer. It's very rare that you'll see anyone introduce his own kal v'chomer, certainly not a Rishon. But here's a case where the Ramban doesn't have any hestaygud, he's not inhibited to create his own kal v'chomer. Madoch v'akodesh baruch hu doesn't bring any takola through the animal of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, how much more so would he not bring about any takola through the animals of Avraham Avinu? V'zu she'elo listar zmamas habehem hagmalim. He says the following, look at the Ramban's language. He says, V'kasher chamoro shara Pinchas Ben Yair einenu tzarech lishtomer min advar masurim l'bayel l'achilo. Kolshkein, says the Ramban, gmalov shal Avraham Avinu v'ein tzarech lizomimam ki lo yu'une l'tzadik kol avon. It will never turn around. A situation will never come about in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring a tzadik to an avera and not even his animals. There's no need to muzzle the animals of Avraham Avinu. Rashi is accusing Avraham Avinu of being choshi. He was worried that his animals would eat menagezo. There's nothing to fear. Now, Rabosai, I don't know how many of you watched the camels, you know, if you went to a zoo. I remember we once took our chevra, you know, we had 18-year-olds in Yeshiva, we took them out for a teal, and we went to a place with a lot of Bedouins and a lot of camels. I can tell you this, camels eat. And that's about all they do. They keep eating. I don't know what kind of muscles they have, the biology of the jaws. They just keep eating away. Give them straw and they will eat. How is it possible that a camel will not eat because this grazing area belongs to someone else, the Yenom, and there's an Issur Gezel here? And the answer is because who owns the camels? The camels are owned by Avraham Avinu. And the chassidus of Avraham is even greater and exceeds beyond the chassidus of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. Ki Yevsha says the Rabban Shiyah Chasidus be Beisel Shra Pinchas Ben Yor Godol Yosem be Beisel Shra Avraham Avinu. You want to compare Chasidus? You have Pinchas Ben Yor on the one side, and you got Avraham Avinu on the other? Don't even bother putting them on the scale. The Chassidus of Avraham Avinu by far exceeds that of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyada. To such an extent that Avraham's camels don't have to be muscled. What kind of world does Avraham live in? He doesn't have to muscle his camels. And by the way, I want to take 1 minute of your time just to think about Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyada. Who is Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyada? Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyada, there are a lot of stories in Shas about him. But I would just like to share with you his famous statement about how to go from step to step and ascend the spiritual ladder. It's quoted in many different places. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyada says that Zrizus mevilu de Nikias, Nikias mevilu de Tara, Tara mevilu de Kedusha, Kedusha mevilu de Anova, Anova mevilu de Yerushamayim, Yerushchet, Yerushchet mevilu de Chassidus, Chassidus mevilu de Ruach HaKodesh, and Ruach HaKodesh mevilu de Tchias HaMeisim. Who wrote a book around that the center of the entire book is this Brisa, this member of Pinchas Ben Yair? The Vesils Yesharim, Rabchal. And by the way, the Rabchal goes through each one of these stages in great detail. Anova, and Zrizus, and Chsidus, and the Yerushamayim, Yerushchei. But by the way, he drops the ball at some point. When he gets to Tchias HaMesim, there's nothing there in the Ramchal. I tried to find something. You know, I want to get a picture of what Tchias HaMesim is all about. I think the Ramchal himself felt that maybe he could go through certain stages and get a picture. But when it came to the last, actually, the next to the last stage in this whole procedure is called Ruach HaKodesh. I think there's only two lines in the Ramchal about Ruach HaKodesh. Nothing about Tchias HaMesim. You know, if you were to create a recipe for something, I don't know how many of you here, you know, cook. Mostly our wives cook. But if you, a person who writes, who creates a recipe, they got to know what ingredients go into the cake or whatever it is they're making. If Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyada was able to take us by the hand and lead us step by step through this entire process until we reach the epitome that man can achieve, namely Tchias HaMeisim, you can begin to imagine what level Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyada was on. But that's nothing, says the Ramban, compared to Avraham. His Chassidus Avraham goes that much beyond, and therefore, if Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyada's donkey doesn't need any protection, how much more so that the camels of Abraham don't need any protection? It's L'mayla min HaTeva. See, you're describing the Chassidus of Avraham. If you remember, Chazal said that Hagar, when she was out there, you know, after Sarai, she was out there and she saw Malachim. Chazal say, yeah, it was no big deal. She didn't even blink. You know, Malachim, like, we saw it all the time. All Shal Avraham is sorry. This is the level that we're talking about. So when we ask the question, what picture, what view, what vision does the Ramban have of Avraham Avinu? When we read the first Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, and he accuses Avraham Avinu of chet gadol chata b'shkaga, because hayol l'tof Hashem. You know, let's see the picture in a more complex perspective. The Ramban thinks that the Chassidus, the level of Avraham, reflect had such an impact that there were nisim v'niflaos going on over here. We're living l'mayla min HaTeva. And this is the way Avraham Avinu lives his life. Let's leave this on the side for a moment. And I want to study with you, I would call this second Roman numeral number 2 in today's discussion, Chizkiyo HaMelech. Now, if anybody has to go, please, you know, don't be embarrassed, don't be inhibited. I'll say the shir even if one person stays with me to the end. I mean, because the real punchline comes at the end of the shir. But we got to build up to it. This is a shir that combines textual learning inside. I'm a textual guy. I like to read a text. That's the way I like to teach. But it also combines hashkafa and its practical implications to all this. It's important. There's a brisa on Masechta Pesachim, Perek Makom Shenagu, that records 6 different actions taken by Chizkiyo HaMelech in his life. 3 of them achieved the approval of the Chachamim, and 3 of them incurred the wrath of the Chacham. They rejected it. Amongst the 3, for which Chazal gave him a round of applause, is Gonaz Sefer Refuos, which literally translates that he concealed the book of healing, of cures, of medicine, of medicinal medicinal administration. Vahodu lo, and they liked it. So what is this Sefer of Fools? And why did Chizkiyah conceal it, and why was Chacham happy that he concealed it? Because again, I don't know how you feel about it, but I, you know, my initial response is, wait a minute, you know, if there's a Sefer of Fools, I would make a billion copies of it. If not a billion copies. I mean, this could be the greatest, every government, you know, at least in the West, I don't know, in the East probably also, but every government and anyone who cares about mankind is putting in millions and billions of dollars into research to come up with cures. If you have a Sefer of Fools, that's something that you should be proud of, you should be publicized. And look what Rashi comes up with. He says, Kirichsiv, Rashi quotes a pasuk. I brought the pasuk for you on the top of the next page, just so you should see it inside. It's a pasuk in Malachim that refers to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. It says, Vatov Beinecha Sisi. Chizkiyahu HaMelech is very proud of the fact that he did that which was upright in the eyes of the Almighty. And what was that? So Chazal says, it's a Gemara in Brachos, Shegoda Sefer Fuel. So when Chizkiyahu is asking for a cure from Hashem for his ailment, he says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, look, I have great credits, I got good merits here, what did I do? What's the one thing that Chizkiyahu can point to and say with pride that I achieved your will, God? And the answer is that I concealed this book of medicine. Says Rashi, why? I mean, Rashi doesn't ask the question, but he answers it. What was so great about concealing the Sefer Fuel's? Lefi shelo haya libam nichna al chol yom. They should have received their ailments with humility, accepting the will of God. Ella, but rather they turned to the Sefer of Fools. Umisrapim miyad. There was the cure. There was the recipe, and immediately they were healed. Now, a physician, I don't know, we don't have any physicians here today, do we? Or do we have any sons of physicians? Or no, not even that? Okay. A physician would be very upset by this Rashi. Because, you know, I went to medical school, that took me 4 years, and then afterwards I did my stage, as we call it, my internship, that took me another 3-4 years. I mean, I put a lot of work into becoming a physician. And I took the Hippocratic Oath, in which I said I'm dedicated to help mankind, and if I was sincere about it. And what happens? Throw it all out. Why? Because if I administer medical procedure, this person who's a chole will not be nichna libo. He needs hachnas halev. He has to be humble and accept the will of God and get the message. It should stimulate him and bring him to tefillah and to tshuva. But Chas v'Shalom, I shouldn't be giving him an easy way out. I have a pill. If he takes this pill, he'll be cured. No, that's not a good idea. Now, you may know that some of the Rishonim were physicians. Two of them come to mind right off the bat. Two great physicians in their time. Who do I have in mind? The Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban was a great physician too. He's not as famous as the Rambam. The Rambam was in the Sultan's palace. You know, he was considered the greatest physician of his times. So they're still studying his medical works. I don't know whether they're reliable or not now in context, but it seems that there's a new diet, I don't know if you heard it, that's becoming popularized now, and yeshiva guys are doing it, and they're losing weight, and it's based on the Rambam. It's the Rambam's diet. In any event, you can just guess, even without looking at my next source on page 2, that the Rambam is not going to just sit there and take this beating, you know. And it's very interesting because the Rambam wrote a Pirush on the Mishnah. And this story about Chizkiyahu HaMelech hiding the Sefer HaRefuos is not recorded in the Mishnah. So you don't expect the Rambam to say a word about it. It's really only a Braisa, Tanur Rabbana. But the Rambam says, Halacha Zui Tosefta, this Halacha that Chizkiyahu hid the Sefer HaRefuos is in a Tosefta, which is really outside the purview of my peers, but I'm writing a commentary on the Mishnah. But nevertheless, he says, Avol Ra'isi LeFarsha Gamke. Even though I'm limited to the Mishnah officially, I'm going to expand my commentary to incorporate the Raisa as well. Lefishi Yeshba Zeto Aliyos. It has a very important purpose. In other words, I feel compelled to explain to you why it was that Chizkiyahu HaMelech hid the Sefer HaRefuos. And he says, what is the Sefer HaRefuos? Haya sefer shahaya bo seder refuos. It was a book that had within it a very definite sequence. You know, you had to do A, B, C, and D to cure yourself of machla, whatever the ailment was, X we'll call it. And it included things that we should not be following. Kigon, he gives an actual example of such a medical text. Mashemidamin Balial Talsamos. Talsamos is a Greek word that crept into the Arabic language. Shem Osim Talsam, these Talsamos were the Balial Talsam, and they wrote certain guidelines in a book. Beseder Mesuyim, and they said you have to do it in that particular sequence. And they wrote Moel Choli Ploni, and that sequence will help you for a particular ailment. V'chayotze Bazem Nidvar Masurin, and there are many things in their recipes, in their what word should I use? In their what do you say? Call it
potions.
The potions and different things that they were advocating on.
Remedies
and their remedies that are absolutely forbidden. But the one who authored this book, lo chibro el al derech halimud. He really meant it to be a study text. It wasn't meant to be practical medicine. Be limud b'tivei ametzius. He would reveal to us different biological cures that existed in nature. Lo kidei l'shtamish b'mashu mimashu nichal bo. Not that they should take the whole. V'zem mutar, and you're allowed to read these textbooks. Even though you're not allowed to use them, but you're allowed to study them, because the pasuk says lo talamed lasos. The emphasis is here on asiya, and again, we could have a long discussion about this. It's a sugyan sanhedrin. Baba Kabbalah Chazal interpret what does it mean lo talamed lasos? About talamed lahavin lahoros. You're allowed to learn things from it. It's like, for example, you're allowed to read books of idolatry in order to understand the laws of idolatry and what's mutter and what's asur. Here too, you can derive certain conclusions about the biological nature of the universe and apply medicinal practices if you know how to read this book, but it's only an academic book. It's not meant to give you a step-by-step practical process. V'kasha kilkulu b'nei adam. When people started using this text as if it was a practical one, v'nisrabubo, and even though they were helped by it, gunzo, because there was so much danger involved in using the Sefer Refuah that the negative aspect outweighed the positive aspect. The Efsha, then the Rambam throws out another possibility. Shaya Sefer, the Sefer Refuah was a Sefer Sheish Bahar Kovas Samim. It told you how to extract various drugs from herbs, Hamaziki, which could be very detrimental to your health, very dangerous. Kigom Samploni, Markivino Sokach. They would tell you how to put it together. Umashkino Sokach, and how you should create liquids to drink. The Goreng Lamachla Zu Vizu, Rufuaso Vakach Vakach. Shayira harofe osam amachlos yodesh samplonish kovid osilo dvam negdim shiatzileva kakilkulu bnei adam for hargubo, and people were dying as a result of their misuse of these medical texts. Says the Rambam, v'lo herachti ledaber beinyan zeh. Why did I go out of my normal way in order to give you an in depth and complex presentation here? El mipnei shamati, because I heard a different shot. And you're going to have to guess what that pshat is. Upirshuli, and they interpreted to me that Shlomo Chiber, this is the King Solomon, the great wise man, the wisest of all men, Chiber Sefer Refuos. He actually authored a book of cures. Shem Chala Adam Beis Amachla Hayopona Elov. He could study this book. The Asa Kimo Shu Omer. And if he follows the instructions of Shlomo HaMelech meticulously, Misrape, he will be healed. And Ra'a Chizkiah realized, Shelo hayu b'nei adam botchim b'Hashem. People were not relying on God b'machloseihem with their ailments. Ela al Sefer Refuos. All they did was rely on the Sefer Refuos, which is authored by whom? By Shlomo HaMelech. Amad v'gonzo. So Chizkiah decided to hide it. You think the Rambam is going to like this pshat? I've never seen the Rambam become so ballistic and so antagonistic as this Rambam. Ubilvad, he says, afsus dovarze. Forget about the stupidity of it. So in other words, it could blow you away and take you off the right track. They are attributing to Chizkiah and those who followed in his path, meaning the Chachamim Shahodulo, Sichlus She'em L'yachais Dugmosa El L'Gruim She'Bavamon. This is stupidity that we should only attribute to the lowest of the low. Ulefi Dimyonam HaMeshubash, according to their, we would say in Yiddish, Fakrumta, distorted understanding, Mitubash, it's absolutely stupid, Im Ra'ev Adam, a person is hungry, right, he's got hunger pains, Upanel Alechem V'yachol, so he eats bread to quiet down his hunger pains. Shemisrape mi oso atzara godobli safe. Certainly he will remove all his hunger pains. Ha'im nomar, should we say Shehesir bitchono b'Hashem? I mean, God gave us nature. And within the nature that he gave us, he granted us the ability and the wherewithal to quell our and satiate our hunger. So what are you telling me? I shouldn't do that? I should just pray to God? Anyone who would say such a thing can only be described as a shotim. Right? The problem is, who's he attacking here? Whose pshat is it that says that people are relying on refuos when they shouldn't have been relying on refuos? It's Rashi. That's why he says in his outset that this is a very important agenda for me, because this is he says that there's a very popular misunderstanding here of why Chizkiah had to conceal the Sefer Fuhl. He says, "Kmo shani modev Hashem." Obviously, I believe in God. B'eis ha'ochel, I eat food, I eat bread. Shem tzili dover, because God created in this natural universe the ability of man to satiate his hunger. La'hasir avoni. So I bench and I thank Hashem. I acknowledge God's existence. I understand that everything that I have that brought me into this health situation is because of God. Kach, in the same way, says the Rambam, no delo, we should thank God. God gave me the ability to utilize different medicinal procedures and remedies in order to bring about health and restore my, you know, undo my pathological state. So I thank God for that. That's exactly what I have to do. God created a nature, and the nature has within it solutions to all the problems that arise. And the Rambam ends up by saying, "V'lo'isi tzarch listar pirush." I wouldn't even bother rejecting such an idiotic pshat, lule persumo, if not for the fact that it's so famous that it became such a public thing. Wow, I tell you, I've never seen the Rambam go so ballistic against the Rishon. Maybe Rashi touched on a sensitive nerve here, because the Rambam was so dedicated to refuah, to medicine, and to say that Chizkiah HaMelech was doing an avli, doing a terrible, that the Sefer Fuhl was such an avli that Chizkiah saw fit to fix up this avla by concealing the Sefer Fuhl. That's for sure. By the way, when he says that Shlomo HaMelech was the one who authored the Sefer Fuos, this I found in a Rashi, in Tanakh. Let me see if I have it on the page. I don't remember if I think I have it on the page. Well, I don't see it right this minute.
So how does the Rambam explain that the Chacham HaMelech were hating?
Because this was a different kind of a book. It wasn't authored by Shlomo. It was meant to be an academic work. It wasn't for practical use. It also incorporated within it certain things that we are enjoined from doing. You know, different kinds of hocus pocus. People started using it. They misunderstood what the Talmud were all about and what their goal was. It got into the wrong hands. And as a result, Chizkiah did a great service for the entire world by hiding this Sefer Fuhl that was being misused. The Rambam goes as far as to say that as a result of the misuse of this Sefer Fuhl, people were actually dying. They were using certain potions that were so dangerous that at the end of the day they were dying from it. But Chas V'Shalom, to say that if we only had access to a book that incorporated within it all the great solutions and cures to our problems, if Shlomo HaMelech himself, the Chacham Mikol Adam, because the Ramban in his introduction to the Chumash, to to Sefer Bereishis, he writes about the wisdom of Shlomo Melech. And Shlomo Melech understood every single tree that grows and what serums and herbs, you know, what possible drugs we can get from every single tree and every single kind of vegetation and use it for health purposes. If only we had such a book. So Rabosai, I would like to suggest that Rashi is not opposed to Refuah. But that in order to appreciate Rashi, we have to know something about Chizkiyo HaMelech, and specifically about the generation, the period of time of Chizkiyo HaMelech. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Chof, darshins the pasuk in Mishlei, Sheker Achein Vehevel Ayofi Isha Yuras Hashem Tishalo, and going through every single phrase in this pasuk, Sheker Achein, according to the second pshat, that's the one that interests us now, Zedoro Shel Moshe, Hevel Ayofi Zedoro Shel Yoshua, these were all generations that were dedicated to the study of Hashem's Torah. But Yiras Hashem Tishalo, the epitome, the apex, Zedoro Shel Chizkiyo, says Rashi. Again, they learned a lot of Torah during the period of Moshe and Yoshua, but what was unique about the level of Torah study during the generation of Chizkiyo? And Rashi quotes the Pasuk Yishayahu Anavi, the Chovel Avel, which Chazal say is a reference to Sanherev, who was conquering the world and persecuting every nation. The Amrina Bechelek, the Gemara says in the last parak in Sanhedrin, Chovel Avel Shel Sanherev Nipnei Shmano Shel Chizkiyo, the oil of Chizkiyo. If you know, oil in Chazal is always a symbol of Chachma, of Torah. And this oil, Hayadolek Bebati Midrashos, Chizkiyo saw to it that there was oil that was burning in all the study halls. And he increased the level of Torah study. Achibadku Midan Viad Beersheva, they checked out the situation from the north all the way to the south. Velomatsu Amaretz, they couldn't find someone who was ignorant. Everyone was dedicated to Torah study. And the Yerushalmi in Tainus says, Bedor Shel Chizkiyo Yigeim B'Torah, they were completely dedicated to Yigiyo B'Torah, to working in Torah. And if we look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Dalid, the Gemara says that this Shemen, this movement, this Torah movement of Chizkiyo HaMelech was so powerful that it completely undermined the power of Sanherib, which, by the way, is a relevant passage in today's controversy about drafting yeshiva students. Because what happens is, according to Chazal, it was the Torah study of Chizkiyo and his whole generation that offset the power, the military might of Sanherib. And that's the pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. And Badku Midan V'ad Bar Sheva Migeves V'ad Antifras, Rashi tells you where these locations are. V'lomatsu Tinok V'tinokes, we're talking about children below the age of Bar Mitzvah and Bas Mitzvah. They couldn't find one child, male or female, Ish or Ish, or one adult, Shalohayu B'kiyim B'hilchas Tumah V'tara. My friends, Tumah V'tara, have you ever learned the little Tumah V'tara? I remember the Kol, when I was in Kol, we learned Nida. It was so complicated. And that's only Efes Katzeu of Tyrus. You couldn't find a child anywhere from north to south, from Dan to Beersheba. It wasn't a Bucky who couldn't answer your questions in Tumah V'tara? You know, I'm always reminded of the story that Shimon Peres tells. You know, Shimon Peres, who's the president of Israel, went to into a high school class, and, you know, in a regular Mamlachti school. And he asked them how far it is from Dan to Beersheba. So one kid raised his hand, he said, you mean Dan and Beersheba are locations? We thought they were husband and wife, like Sodom and Amorah. Okay. Anyway, but from Dan to Beersheba, they couldn't find a child who wasn't a Bucky. And I'll also adore, the Gemara says, regarding that level of that generation of Chizkiyo, they say that they Vahaya Vayomahu, they reached this high level, which, according to Chazal, Chizkiyo was meant to be Mashiach because of the dedication to Torah. Rav Yosef Albo wrote a book on Emuna called the Sefer Ikrim. In one place he writes, all the nevuos that foretell the end of days were really referring to Chizkio. At the end of the day, Chizkio was not appointed Mashiach. In the original divine plan, Chizkio was designated to be the Mashiach. His dar was going to be the dar of Achris Hayomiv, the ultimate Geula. The Major says in Sechel Tov, Kiyotze Medovel Marba Mishra, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Chizkiyo Mashiach, V'Sancheirev Gogu Mogo, V'Kevin Shalo Zocha Hador, Sosa Mesakeitz. The door was not ready for it. According to the Yalkut, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Chizkiyo Mashiach, but what happened? Chizkiyo messed up. Because when David HaMelech experienced all the nisim and the flows, so he recited Shiros V'Sishpachos, and Chizkiyo HaMelech kol anisim halol wasisi lo v'lo amar shiro lefanai, and he didn't recite Hallel, he didn't recite Shiro v'taseu Mashiach. So whatever it was that blocked the ultimate implementation of the plan, but in the original divine scheme of things, Chizkiyo and his dar were designated to be the Achris HaYomim. Now let's get a picture of what it's like in the Achris HaYomim. If we look in the Psukim at the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai, which I have for you on the bottom of your page 2, in Bechukosai Teilechu, Vetz Misvosai Tishmoru, Venasati Gishmachem Be'itam, Nosna Aretz Yevula, Eitz Asodi Yitain Pirio, all the vegetation is producing, it's this kind of an idyllic Gan Eden picture. Hisiglem Daishes Botzir, V'yashavtem Betach Be'artzachem, you'll live in great security without any worries, Venasati Sholom Ba'aretz, Vishachavtem be'ei machrid, you go to sleep at night, you're not afraid of terrorism or of war or of anything. Vishvati chayo rabin oris, there won't be any attacks from animals and beasts. V'radavtem es oyvechem, and you will run after your enemies. V'nasatish mishkani v'sochachem, and there'll be a beis hamikdash amongst you. V'shalachti v'sochachem, says the Ramban, this is on the top of your page 3. Al Kain, all these psukim, Omar HaKosov are describing Yimei HaGoel, the days of Mashiach, Hayotzim Migeza Yishai, Shein Yoshuv HaSholom Ba'olam, that the peace will return to the land, and there will no longer be animals that will attack us. Vakavona Hoysobo, and all these psukim, really, in the original intent, Ral Chizkiyo, we're referring to Chizkiyo HaMelech, Shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasoso Mashiach V'lo Olso Zchusom L'kach. And therefore all these nevuos now are redirected via Maisal Mashiach, Hasid Lover, whoever the Mashiach will be. And in the Ramban's projection of the image, of the idyllic image of the Zman HaGeula, he writes to you, Sholom Beinechem V'lo Talachmu Ish B'Yachiv, all these terrible political splits and controversies will be gone. Oh, he offers another Shalom Hu Sheyashbis Chayev Rabin Oretz, the Cherev Lo Tavra Biartzachem, will have peace from our enemies that surround us, and will run after our enemies, they'll run away from us. Vishbati Chayev Rabin Oretz. So the Ramban is picturing this beautiful, idyllic state. Why will the animals not come and attack us? Because look at the urban centers where human beings dwell. Bios HaSova, because there's so much produce, there's so much healthy food out there. Bervos HaTova, Ve'yos HaOrem Maleos Odom, the cities are fully populated with people. Lo Tavano HaChayos B'Yishuv, the animals won't even come into the Yishuv, to the urban centers. Vaklal, and then the Ramban summarized it. Ki Bios Yisrael Shleimim, Ve'im Rabim, when the Jewish nation will reach this near perfect state, and not just individuals, but the entire community of Israel, Lo Yisnayeg in Yonah B'Teva Klal. There will no longer be a natural order of the universe that will control their behavior. Lo B'Gufam, Lo B'Artzam, Lo B'Chlolam, Lo B'Yochidlam. It won't have any impact on their bodies, on their land, not for the community and not for the individuals. Ki yivarech Hashem, there'll be an absolute shefa bracha coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lachmam umeimam yasir machlam mikirbam. And here I'd like you to underline the next few words. Ad shelo yitztarchu lerofei. Imagine, here's a great physician who's saying that in the ultimate goal, in the ultimate vision of things, the Akras Hayomim, they won't even need any physicians. They won't even have to go to physicians and find the cures and the remedies. Kamo Shomer, as the Pasuk says, Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha, they'll come directly to Almighty God and He will give them healing. And he says that there were tzaddikim throughout the generations who lived on that level. But for us as a community, we have to wait till the Achras Hayomim. But in the beautiful Achras Hayomim, that vision of Gan Eden, there won't be any need for Rofim. Lo Yidrifu Barofim, Rak B'Neviim. Ke'inyin Chizkiyo Bechal Yosef. The second time that the Ramban invokes Chizkiyo, he was the individual who, when he took sick, he turned to Hashem, not to the Rofim. And so that we could understand now, I think Rashi in Masechet Pesachim, who lauds and gives a vote of approval to the fact that Chizkiyo hid the Sefer Refuos, because that was the generation in the original plan of Achras Hayomim, living as it were above nature. The Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos attacks Rashi because he's understanding that Chazal, when they approved of Chizkiyah, they were doing so because of something that any king should have done at any point in history. But Rashi, I believe, was limiting Chizkiyah and the understanding of what he did and the approval he got to come to one particular historical epoch, namely Chizkiyah V'doro, that was meant to be the Dor of Geulah. They don't have to go to Rofim. And in order to indicate that, in order to teach the people, educate them that they shouldn't rely on Refuos, Chizkiyo went ahead and he hid the Sefer Refuos. That was appropriate for that particular level. And if that be the case, I would tell you, I would submit to you, that there's no machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam. That Elu v'Elu, they're both saying the same thing. Rashi is right if you address Chizkiyo's actions within a particular historical context in which our bitachon, our reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, goes beyond nature. We don't live within we're not incarcerated by the rules of nature. But the Rambam is talking about a natural state of being. God created nature, we have to live within nature. And if this be the case, Rabosai, then we're talking about a bitachon and ishtadlus, you know, whether we go to the best physicians and we seek out the people who will fly to all ends of the world to look for the best doctors. And on the other hand, there's a mida bitachon. Maybe it's not all so set in stone. Maybe we should look for some sort of rule and some sort of modus operandi that will tell us how to move through this maze between the two polar extremes of bitachon and ishtadlus. And I think, and this is the third part of the shiur, that we have an insight in the parsha of Yosef HaTzadik. You remember that Yosef was in jail and the Saramashkim was thrown into jail. Saramashkim had a dream that disturbed him. He didn't know the Pitaron, and Yosef interpreted the dream for him. And then Yosef turns to the Saramashkim after telling him that Bo'od Shloshes Yomim Yisar Paro Es Roshecha Ve'yishivcha Al Kanecha. He says, then Ki Imzchartani, maybe you should remember me. And he says again, Vizkartani El Paro. Twice he asks, he intimates that the Saramashkim should remind him to Paro, to mention his name to Paro, and get me out of here. And the Pasuk in Tehillim, which Chazal Darshan in Perek Mem, Ashrei Hagever Asher Som Hashem Miftachov Loponel Rehovim. Rehovim, Rashi says, are the Gasei Ruach, you know, those conceited people that are bloated. They think that they're the end of the world. You know, this, the world revolves around me. They don't care about anyone else. So these people are people of power, and naturally we'd want to turn to them and rely on them. These are the exceptional political leaders. But Ashrei HaGever, how fortunate is the person that puts all his faith in God. And he doesn't turn to these Rehavim, these big shots. And the Medrash on this Pasuk in Tehillim, and it's found in Parshas Miketz in the context of Yosef and the Saramashkim, says, Ashrei HaGever, who is that Gever? Who is that man that David HaMelech is praising because he's Shama, Asher Sama Hashem Miftacho? Zeh Yosef. Yosef is the paradigm of Ashrei HaGever Asher Sama Hashem Miftacho. So if you look at Chazal and ask Chazal, tell me, amongst all the personalities in Tanakh, who would you single out as the greatest model for Bitochon? And Chazal say, Ashrei HaGever, who's the Gever? It's Yosef. And then the same Medrash darshens the next three words in the same pasuk, V'lopano Rahavim, say Chazal, V'lopano Rahavim, Shal Yidei Sha'omar L'Sar Mashkin, Ki Im Z'chartani V'Z'chartani, the double language, Nitvasi V'loshtei Shonim. Says the Beis HaLevi Rav Yosef Ben Brisker, the Ravim Chaku El Medrash, many have tried to rack their brains and figure out to decipher the code of this Medrash. Omar Betchil is a Yosef. You just told me in the same breath that the paradigm of Bitochon is Yosef, and now you're telling me that he was the one who, instead of having Bitochon Hashem, they'll get out of the jail, he turned to the Rehovim, to the Sar Mashkin, is called the Rehovim, he's the big shot, you know, he's the Sar Mashkin, and because of that he was punished with 2 extra years in jail. Says the Beis HaLevi, and now the Beis HaLevi, I think, is going to give us an insight into how to work through this maze and juggle the two extremes of Bitochon and Ishtadlus. Dehine be'emes haTorah hitiro li'odam Ishtadlus etzorchei gufo. The Torah permits you, it gives you a green light to go ahead and apply whatever you need within the natural universe for the need to achieve your bodily, physical needs. And he quotes the pasuk, "Ubiracha b'chol asher ta'aseh." God will bless your asiya, your action. So the humans are allowed to take actions. They don't have to sit back and wait for Hashem to save them. V'chein k'siv yasafta digonecha. You go out there and you work the fields. You plant in the planting season. You harvest in the harvesting season. You market your produce. You're allowed to have a job. You're allowed to work out in the fields. You got to do what you have to do. So what's the problem with Yosef? Why is he being punished? The Ikar Yeshlomar Dizehu Klal Leisha Yisraeli, the underlying principle that applies to every single Jew. Sheyeh Libo Shoket Uboteach Bashem, the first principle in terms of our behavior is going to be relying on Hashem. That's the ideal. So why did the Torah allow me to do what I have to do? Isn't that a violation of Shehei Libo Shokei to Boteach Hashem? Says the Beis HaLevi, Hu Mishum Delo Kol Adam Yochol Agil Madregas Bitochon Gomur. You know, you don't start at the finish line. You've got to work your way up. Not every individual can say, oh, I personify absolute reliance in God, and therefore I don't have to get involved in any ishtadlus. Valkein hutelo ishtadlus. What is ishtadlus? Kedeshi halo siyua. It's going to help him. Shiagia lemadregas haboteach. Rabosai, what terminology would you use to describe Hishtadlus and Bitochon in the frame of reference of the Beis HaLevi? What is Hishtadlus? Is it an end unto itself? It's what? A means to an end. It's a siyua. It's going to help me achieve my goal. If I go to work from 9 to 5, and I get a salary check, and it allows me to support my family, put bread on the table, I have a sense of calm, of security, of bitachon. I say, Hashem gave me a bracha. Like we saw in the Rambam, when you go to a doctor and he heals you, he cures you, and then you say to Hashem, oh, I got to thank you, Hashem. V'tzarech kol adam l'chadish lo melocha v'esek. Every person should find his occupation. K'dei she'yia nekil lo l'vtoch b'Hashem. In such a way that it'll make it easy for him to rely on Hashem. He'll be comfortable. He'll go to sleep feeling secure. He did what he had to do. But that's only a means to an end. This concept that the Torah allows you, permits you to do something that's less than really what the ideal is, we find a precedent for this. Where do we find a precedent that Hashem allows you to do what really you shouldn't be doing, but for the greater goal, that the means justify the ends? He quotes a very famous statement of Chazal, Olam Yasok Oda V'Torah U'V'Mitzvos Afil Shalolishma Shemitoch Shalolishma Bolishma. Now wait a second, a person learns Torah Shalolishma, right? What does he want? He wants to get benefits from the Torah that he studies, whatever they are. Maybe he gets paid for what he does. Maybe he gets called Rebbe, you know, he gets a very special stature. That's called Shalolishma. That's not the way Torah should be studied. And yet Li'olam Yasok Adam V'Torah Shalol L'Shma. Why? Why does Chazal advocate that I go through the Shalol L'Shma? And what's the answer? It's a stepping stone. It's a means to an end. It's not something that we're happy with. For sure, no one is going to give you a great accolade because you learned Torah Shalol L'Shma. You don't deserve any compliments for that. That's Shalol L'Shma. That's not the way Torah should be studied. But yet, under these circumstances, it's going to be a stepping stone. Somehow the Torah Shalol L'Shma will bring you to the level of Torah L'Shma. And that's what the Beis HaLevi says, Hutra Shalol L'Shma Kedei She'yeh Siyua Lavo L'Bchinas L'Shma. We need a special matir, you would say in Briska language, in order to permit us to learn Torah Shalol L'Shma, only because it's going to be a stepping stone. Somehow it engenders a certain impact on the soul that leads you to a higher level. So therefore, any kind of ishtadlus, says the Beis HaLevi, is never something that the Torah has to allow you, because it's a stepping stone to reach, to achieve the level of lishma, namely the level of bitachon. But basically, from the Beis HaLevi's perspective, the first principle and the ultimate goal here is bitachon. That is where we start, and that's where we got to end. But we need this level of a means to an end, of this b'dieved kind of situation of ishtadlus. So how much ishtadlus should we be doing? Says the Beis HaLevi, gain shiur, you want to measure how much ishtadlus you're allowed to do, hanirtza, which is acceptable. Eino shav b'chol adam. You cannot say that it's uniform and standard for everyone. Chakol echad l'fi erko. A person, as Socrates would say, know thyself. You have to know who you are, what level you're up to. Mishi yochel agil liftoch b'ma'at malacha. If he's on a higher madrega, he only has to implement a minimum amount of, you know, he started with a 9-to-5 job, now he cuts it down to 9-to-4, and lo and behold, he's still making enough money to put food on the table. So he takes that extra hour and he dedicates it to Torah study. Great! Shir ashtal sinitza, he says, azai, if he's at the level of 9-to-4, if he goes beyond that and he exceeds and he oversteps his bounds, that's more than that which is mutalo, because it's more than it's nitzrachlo. Is he a chashiv lo chait? Now that extra hour that he puts in is a chait. And why is it a chait? Because it undermines the midah of bitachon. He went too far in his ishtal svobota. But if he's on a lower level of bitachon, nisha bitachonu adayim katan, he's at the beginning stage, he's in the infancy stage, yachal lasak b'malacha yosef mechaber, he'll put in the full 9-to-5. He won't run around, he'll have to run around like a chicken without a head. Yosef mechaberu. Ashikam hu, yiyah yachal lahashkin rucha v'liv l'tof Hashem, until he reaches the level of security and reliance on Hashem with less malacha. So there's a scale here, a rising scale that's relative to each individual, and as long as you're ascending higher and higher levels. But the ultimate level is lahashlich al Hashem Yahavo, to realize that God is the one who's providing for him, and therefore he doesn't have to do ishtadlus. And therefore, if someone exceeds beyond the allowed measure of ishtadlus, and he's a chet, he was chote the midas habitachon, what's going to be his punishment? Mida keneged mida, says the Beis HaLevi. Yosef al etzrachtus al ishtadlus. He'll need to do more ishtadlus to achieve his goal. Lo yizuma lo parnasoso. It's an inverse relationship. If you do less ishtalos and more bitachon, you'll need less and less ishtalos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you with a parnasa that's designated for you. If on the other hand you exceed and you add too much ishtalos beyond what you need according to your madrega, then you'll have to do even more ishtalos to achieve the bracha from Hashem. And now the Beis HaLevi comes full swing back to Yosef HaTzadik. He says, why was Yosef punished? He got an extra 2 years in jail. Why? What ishtadlus did he do? Kitano Pchusa. The most minimum ishtadlus you can imagine. Dibur Echad. He said one thing. And he understood that this Sar Mashkin was being sent here. So now let me do what I have to do. And ask him to mention my name to Paro. V'kevon sheroim anachtu sheYosef nenash gam al zeh. If Yosef is punished even for this very minimal hishtadlus, it means that the minimal hishtadlus of Yosef was a violation of midas habitochon on a subjective, relative level for him in terms of the madrega that he had achieved. Muchach mizeh. We see from that the kol kach hayov bitchono gadol. He was such a bal bitochon. And shegam zeh. Hamiut, Hamuat, Lemosar, it's considered Mosar, means it's a surplus, it exceeds beyond Nekshevalo, and therefore his Onesh is Nikar. We can understand from his Onesh, Nikar Godol Bitchono, Masha'em L'Shar Mamish. We can't even imagine what level of Bitochon Yosef had achieved, and therefore, Ashrei HaGever Shasom Iftacho, Velo Ponel Rehov. Yosef on his level, for you and I to ask someone, get me out of jail, mention my name, you have political influence. I'm asking you, do me a favor, mention my name to the governor who can give me clemency. That for sure would not be an avera chet. Because on our level, we're not holy by Yosef. But Yosef has the paradigm of bitachon. Ashrei HaGever, he was living so closely, intimately with God, that for him, even to say his kartani l'paro, that was already overstepping his bounds. All this is the Beis HaLevi. And I think the Beis HaLevi would say to us the following. That each and every one of us are commanded at every single moment, at every single level and stage in our lives, to be bodek es nafshei, to make a cheshbon nefesh, really look at our midah v'shtadlus. How much are we doing here and how much are we doing there, whether it's parnasa, whether it's refuah, whatever it might be, any area of natural man. Are we exceeding beyond? Have we achieved a level of bitachon that now allows us to minimize our ishtadlus? Because it's an inverse relationship. So the greater the bitachon, the less ishtadlus. But if we're not honest with ourselves, and we get nervous and tense, and we don't rely on our sense of security that Hashem is providing for us, and then we overstep our bounds with a yitaron of ishtadlus, that's a chet to the mean of bitachon relative to the individual. But I just want to summarize two things here. Point number one, according to the Beis HaLevi, I begin to understand the two Rambans about Avram Avinu. Remember, we presented what seems to be at the face of it a stira. On the one hand, the Ramban accuses Avram Avinu of being deficient in the mean of bitachon. On the other hand, Avram Avinu in the vision of the Ramban is living on a level of supernatural miracles. He doesn't even have to muzzle his camels. They would never eat that graze because Hashta behemton shalvar shalvar pichas ben yor kol shkein b'chassidu shal Avram. And the answer is that relative to Avram's midah of chassidus, of living with the angels, as we said, it was a chet gadol b'shkaga when Avram Avinu lacked in bitachon and felt he had to leave the land because of the famine. And point number two, I think what we see in this Beis HaLevi is that the goal and the emphasis here is on midas habitachon. In order to justify ishtadlus as a heter, give license and a green light never to do ishtadlus, says the Brisker Rav, the Rav of Brisk, you've got to introduce a kind of shalom l'shma, mitoch shalom l'shma, bo l'shma kind of model. We're going to allow you to do your ishtadlus, but only insofar as it's a stepping stone to achieve your goal. And finally, I want to present to you the Chazon Ish. And Rabbi Bosa, I'm telling you, I've seen this Chazon Ish probably 10 times. And every time I said to myself, he just repeated what the Beis HaLevi said. Now keep in mind, the Chazon Ish is probably about half a century after the Beis HaLevi. It's very hard for me to believe that he didn't know the Beis HaLevi. But Rabbi Bosa, this week, Mamish, this week, Shabbos, this week, I went through the Chazon Ish a second time. I mean a fresh time, probably 11th time. I don't know exactly how many times I've seen this guy. And Lefiani is Daiti. And this is what I have to convince you. If you read the Chazon Ish meticulously, he has an absolutely antithetical view on the issue of Ishtaglus and Bitach. And that's what I'm going to try to convince you. Says the Chazon Ish, you know, the Chazon Ish authored a book called Emuna U'Bitachon. I'm not going to recommend that you read it unless you're an absolute scholar in Hebrew. His Hebrew is murder. It's just a little bit easier than Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, which I would only recommend. I mean, again, you could read Rav Kook in translation, but you lose all the geschmack if you don't read it in the original. But the original is murder. And the Chazon Ish's Emunah B'Tochen is also like a poem. It's like one big poem. But I was able to extract a few paragraphs from here and from there, from the first parak, the second parak, the sixth parak of Emunah B'Tochen, fifth parak, excuse me, and I think we can come to some conclusion about the Chazon Ish's view on Emunah B'Tochen. I'm going to change the order in which it appears on your page, and we're going to fast forward to page 4. And this is the second chapter of Emunah B'Tochen. Says the Chazon Ish, Ikar HaB'Tochen Michovas HaLev. I want to take a moment of your time to try to expound on what these words mean. Lefi Ani Yitzdak. I think what the Chazon Ish is saying is that 90% of B'Tochen, 90%, if not 99%, has nothing whatsoever to do with the Olam Hamas, with your actions. Maybe a certain percentage. For example, if you open up a competition against someone who's across the street, that's called Asogas Gvul, that might be an action which is prohibited by virtue of the Mida B'Tochen. Again, there are rare cases and far, far flung cases. We're going to see Yosef HaTzadik is a very rare kind of a bird because it's a chet b'maisa, you know, something that he did b'dibur, not maisa b'dibur. That's a rare case. 90% of what we have to do in order to achieve and implement the mitzvah of bitachon is in our heart. In other words, whereas if you're following already the contrast here, the Beis HaLevi is giving you a pattern of life. You know, is it 9 to 5? Is it 9 to 4? You know, I have students who graduated, you know, college, and they go to law school, and they have to make law review, and then they get out of law school, and they have to work 80 hours a week in order to make sure that they're, you know, that they get the best jobs. You know, there are, according to Beis HaLevi, there are rules and regulations that govern how much ishtalus you should do. And your actions always have to be examined and revisited very carefully with an honesty and introspection. That's the Beis HaLevi. As I said before, two people will get two different answers when they ask two different rabbis, not because the rabbis are in disagreement, but in terms of what jobs they should pursue and how much work they should do and how much level of B'Tochen, they'll get two different answers because they're two different people. And that will determine an entire different life stage and life program about how they should put in their energies and their times. Are you with me on that? That's according to Beis HaLevi. Whereas the Chazon Ish, I believe, is immediately shifting us away from the emphasis on masim, on the olam amasa. We're not in the world of practicality. What should I be doing? What should I be pursuing? What energy should I put in? What hours should I put in? Forget about all that. Bitachon is an attitude. Like we saw in the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos, you go to a rofe and he cures you, but what's your response? You're going to thank the rofe? Yeah, you thank the rofe. But ultimately, you got to thank God for He gave within nature the wherewithal, the ability to cure your illness. That's a bitachon belayv in your attitude. And the Chazon Ish continues, and he writes, Ashrei HaGever, if you drop down a few lines, and he approaches the issue of Yosef HaTzadik and what was his chait, quoting the same medrash as the Beis HaLevi. But look what he says. Ratzalomar Yosef She'ein Hatzoloso Tluya Beshtadus V'Hakol Miyad Hashem. Sorry for the typo, it should say HaKol Miyad Hashem. Aval Biyos She'nischayev Odom B'Pu'ulos. Man is commanded in action. V'lo Lismoch Al Nisa. He should not rely on something that's far flung, that only in an unusual, miraculous scenario will come to pass. Rabosa, again, I want to take a moment to focus and emphasize, call your attention to one word here. When the Chazon Ish asks the question about Ishtadlus, what word does he use to describe our relationship to Ishtadlus? What? No, pu'ulot, but what's our relationship to pu'ulot? Pu'ulot is a substitute for ishtadlus. Cross out the word pu'ulot and put in the word ishtadlus. But what is our relationship to ishtadlus? Chiyuv, correct? What word would the Beis HaLevi put in there? Go through the Beis HaLevi again. You will not find the word chiyuv. What word will you find? Look again. Look at the Beis HaLevi. Again, this is a class in reading texts. That's the name of the game. It has tremendous philosophical implications and even practical implications. But first, we got to read the text. What is the Beis HaLevi who came 50 years before the Chazon Ish? What does he say? What does it say? Siyua, Meir, is what we do with Aristotles. Aristotles becomes a Siyua to the Mida Bitochon. But I'm asking a different question. What's our relationship to Aristotles in the Beis? It's a head there. From both sides, there's a difference between a heter and a chiyuv. The Beis HaLevi starts with bitachon. And if you start with bitachon, you have a kasha, why ishtadlus? What right do we have to violate bitachon for the sake of ishtadlus? Implement ishtadlus, the answer is the heter. It's a shalol ishba. Chas v'shol to call it a chiyuv. If you call it a chiyuv, then I should be rewarded for my ishtadlus. No one's going to get rewarded for their ishtadlus in the Beis HaLevi's frame of reference. Oh no. Well, look the other way. It's like learning Torah Shelo Lishma. It's a b'dieved sh'b'dieved, but it's a necessary evil. Meir, do you see that in the Beis HaLevi?
But you're right. Tzarech Kol Adam. Tzarech Kol Adam is here.
Let's go back to the text. Which paragraph are you in? Just so I want to see if I'm...
Right after the tira, the next paragraph.
Well, what's the first word in the paragraph? Because I want to see it with you, unless you want to come up here and show it to me.
It's the whole word.
Oh, gotcha, okay. So it's in the middle of the paragraph that starts with the Rabim Chokru, right? It's two-thirds of the way down that paragraph. It's Sarkalad Mlachadish Lo Malach of Esa Kedeshia. Again!
Correct, so he uses both terms.
Again, Sarach is Achayah. Wait a second. What does Sarach mean? Sarach means, I have no other way of getting there. I have to get to here. So Sarach will let us here in order to get to here. I mean, my goal is Bitachon. My mitzvah is Bitachon. My goal is Bitachon. I have to take a circuitous route to get there, to arrive at my goal.
It says called Adam?
Again, every person, unless he's pure in Ishtabas, which is going to be the case, pure Bitachon, which is going to be the case of Yosef Atzad. Every one of us who's not at the level of Yosef Atzad, for which asking a word to someone to help you would be a violation of chait of Midas HaBitachon. For every one of us, we got to get to where we got to get to. And what do we got to get to? A high level of Bitachon.
So how
our goal in life, every Ishtabas, is just to get to a high level. But we can't achieve that high level unless we do Ishtabas. So the Torah was mine. Again, you have to emphasize the equation of the Beis HaLevi with Mitok Shalom Shema. Read it again. That's the emphasis of the Beis HaLevi. If the Beis HaLevi had not found Mitok Shalom Shema Bol Shema, I don't know what. what he would have done. Because he needs that as a precedent to justify shtadlus. The Chazon Ish is using a different term. He's using the term of chayev. And he's going to apply it to Yosef. Yosef is in a situation where Nebuchadnezzar is in jail. He's got to get out of jail. He has a chayev for shtadlus. He's got to do something. And the Chazon Ish is that good question. Beis Halevi will say, do nothing. Do nothing. You're in jail, Yosef. Hashem will take care of you. And on your level, that Midah Bitachon is oppressing, demanding Midah. Do nothing. Not the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says he has a chiyuv.
Why is he punished 2 years later?
So why is he punished? And that's what the Chazon Ish is now going to address. Okay? So now we want to go back to the text of the Chazon Ish and see how the Chazon Ish can come up with an alternative shot in the Medrash. Lafuki the Beis Halevi. To show you what was the error, what was the mistake of Yosef, why did he fail, and why was he punished? He had a chiyuv hishtadlus. And we all have a chiyuv hishtadlus. And I would say that the Chazon Ish would advocate a bracha every time you go to work, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hashem Kedshanu b'mitzvos hishtadlus, according to the Chazon Ish. You've got to live within the natural world. Again, I add one proviso, understanding full well that God, as long as you rely on nature, will bestow His blessing on you, and you will acknowledge that. If you don't acknowledge that, there's nothing to talk about. But understand, says the Chazon Ish, that every single thing you do in life, as long as it's within the framework that's acceptable, we'll see in a minute when you cross the red line, which is what Yosef did, but if you don't cross the red line, then every pa'ula of hishtadlus of yours is a kiyum chovaso. Because you are understanding that God provides through nature. There's no conflict between nature and the bracha of Hashem. Adarabba. God's blessing comes through nature. And nature and the natural order and cause and effect, that's all natural because that's divinely given because God created this world. And He created a world with nature. Where did Yosef go overboard? Where did he get a mistake? And the answer is Chayev Yosef es atzmo lishtamesh bizdamnu zu levakesh misar mashkim. Yosef pronounced for himself an obligation to rely on the help of the Saramashkim. No? So what's so bad? Vasish left. That's his chiyuv. That was his shtadlus. Didn't God send him the Saramashkim? The answer is in the word Rehovim. Who is the Saramashkim? Says the Chazon Ish. A brilliant move here in the Chazon Ish's part. Brilliant. He says, "Vi omnam biyos shalafi tchunas harahavim." You have to know the tchuna, the nature and the characteristic of a balgaiva. If you don't understand what a balgaiva is, you won't understand where Yosef made a mistake. Ein betivo lizkar ulehit. Who does a balgaiva think about? Me, myself, and I. He couldn't give two hoots about anybody else. He's totally focused, totally concerned with himself.
And Yosef needs to know that he is in the definition of Rehavim?
Okay. Well, no. Everyone knew that the Saramashka was a Rehav. But wait a second. Mayor, give me another minute because we're coming to the most sensitive point in the whole discussion. What was Yosef's mistake? Okay? Listen to this brilliant move. Says the Chazon Ish, Ain, please underline these words. Ain roi hamasa ze rak mitoch yeyush. Another word for yeyush? Desperation. That's the key word today, Rabosai. This is my chiddush. That after years and years, I went through this sugya so many times, I finally think I cracked the nut. The key, the code, the key to unlock the code of the Chazon Ish. And it's absolutely antithetical to the Beis Halevi, is the word yesh. A pu'ula, a maisa mitoch yesh. Hamiyuash, someone who's in desperation, ose kol mashe yochel. He will go to the ends of the world. And there's somebody in my family, I'm going to... Says the Chazon Ish. So how did he rely on this no good... bum, this Saramashkim, who's a balgaiva, and Tchunas HaRehovim, again, I'm assuming now, I forget it was Mayor, you asked me this question, but he's assuming that Tchunas HaRehovim, what was the language here? Again, let's go over it one more time. Ein b'tivo. He doesn't have within his nature. You know, we believe in tshuva, you know, you can transform your personality, but not these rehavim. The Sar Mashkin is not doing tshuva. Ein b'tivo lizkar lehetiv. It's not going to happen. So what do you do in such a case? What do you do in such a case? You have two options. Either you do something out of total desperation, which the Chazon Ish describes as a maisi yeyush, miyuash osaka, or your alternative is to rely on Hashem. In other words, the normal natural cycle of cause and effect of biology and medicine is simply not going to cut the mustard. It won't help you. You can shoot for, you know, like a one in a billion count. Says the Chazon Ish, in such a case, we apply the principle Ein Somchin Al Hanes, meaning you have to work within nature. You have to work within the system that God gave you. You want to break away the system? That means that you are relying on some Maisis Shel Yeush, and you're relying on this Sarah Mashkim, this no good stuck up balloon, that he's going to change his character for the sake of some lowly Ivri, right? You know, with the Mitzvah thought of the Ivri. That itself shows, it demonstrates, says the Chazon Ish, that Yosef is missing a piece of bitachon. Isn't this, what? What do you say?
That's conjecture. That's conjecture, because in the Lashon of the Chumash, we do see the desperation.
No, you're right. I mean, if you're looking for the Lashon HaChumash, that's going to be challenging. All we know in the Lashon HaChumash is one and only one thing. That Yosef asks twice to the Sarah Mashkim that he should remember him to Paro. That's as far as the Chumash is concerned. Now let's go to Tanakh. Tanakh helps us a little bit. It's not going to solve your problem, Warren, but it gives us a little bit of broadness. Of course, it says, Ashrei HaGever Asher batach b'Hashem, right? V'lo batach b'rehavim. If you take that pasuk in Tanakh and you apply it to the pasuk in Chumash, Kiyam Zechartani El Paro, then you have the following. You have a person who relies on Hashem, which according to our understanding means that he goes through all the actions that he has to do in order that Hashem should bring about his blessing. But, v'lo batach b'rehavim. Wait a minute. If this pasuk is referring to Yosef, then his problem is that he was a boteach berahavim. How do you know that Yosef was a boteach berahavim? The answer is because the Sar Mashkim is the rahavim. And here's where Torah Shabbat Peh comes in. We started with Chumash, we went to David HaMelech, and now we're back to, and now we're down to Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat Peh, according to Chazon Ish, supplies the following missing pasuk: that the rahavim that's referred to in this pasuk in Tehillim, v'lopana el rahavim, is the Sarah Mashkin. We know that the word Rahavim means the bloated, egocentric, conceited people who think they have all the power in the world. That we know. That's already Torah Shabbat. What we don't know is that the Rahavim in that pasuk is a reference to whom? To the Sarah Mashkin in the episode of Yosef. And by the way, Warren, that's so typical of Chazal. Chazal look into all the words of Tanakh, and they see references to personalities and episodes that took place throughout Jewish history. Like Esther ben Torah Minayim. Hanochi Aster Aster's Pona. So you're right, Warren. On one level, of Torah Shabbatzav, Vush Tetas. Where does it say anything about Esther in this pasuk? There's a pasuk in Tehillim. Keili, Keili, Lama Zavtani. So the Gemara says, Megillah, who recited Keili, Keili, Lama Zavtani? It was Esther when she went into Achashverosh. You know, Vushtetas. But Chazal see hints. That's why the Torah is studied through Pardes in so many different ways. Pshat, Rebbe's, Jush, and so they see deeper and deeper meanings. So they see a pasuk that describes an event. It doesn't tell you who the personality, who's the persona, who's the central figure in the play. And Chazal will fill in that detail for you. That's what's exactly happening here. Chazal saying that David HaMelech is pointing his finger to a Baal Bitachon, someone who's great as a paradigm of Bitachon, but yet he overstepped his bounds. Why? How? Because Pona El Rehov. And Chazal say, who is this guy? Who is David HaMelech referring to? And the answer is, he's referring to that Egyptian by the name of Sar Mashkim, And David should not have done that act. So the Beis Halevi says, you know why? Because he was on such a level of bitachon that why does he have to even waste his breath and ask anybody in the world? It's not lav dafka Rehovim, not lav dafka Balgaiva, to mention him to Paro, relying on. Says the Chazon Ish, no. Yosef is chayev to do every single ishtadlus that he can, except for one. And what's that? Again, what's the language of the Chazon Ish? Except for dvarim harachokim mikol toelas, the language of the Chazon Ish. Only a miyush would know such a thing. A boteach should only do that which he's obligated to do, which is the response of teva, that which you can predict in a laboratory that X will lead to Y. That's what you have to do, and that's a chiyuv. But Yosef overstepped his bounds. He definitely had to do something. He was in a bad straits, but what did he do? He did a pu'ula that doesn't have the chalut shem pu'ulas chom. Why? Because it's outside of nature. It's not something that we could foresee. It's within the world of causality. It's like relying on some sort of desperate act. Ubemaisa ze yesh ke'en zrias avak al zor hemunav habitachon. Here he gets very poetic, the Chazon Ish. And he says that with this action of relying on someone who's not even going to help him at all, out of sheer desperation, he's in effect throwing... How would you translate avak? Is dust or dirt? Dust onto the beautiful, glorious, radiant emuna bitochen that one should have. The achrei shein achova, if he's not doing the shtadlus, that's obligatory. He's doing an act out of desperation. He asura. Then it's prohibited. This herein lies the violation of Yosef HaTzadik. When you do an act of desperation that really has very little chance of success, he doesn't convert it into percentages. It reminds me of our discussion about with Meir Simch. He doesn't tell you when a woman becomes pregnant, what are the percentage points that she will endanger her life through labor. You remember that? We discussed, you know, how much, what constitutes sakon. He doesn't tell us exactly how to define a maisa which is miyush. Mitoch Yeush, but whatever it is, call it one percentage point. The chances of the Sarmashkel al-Piderach HaTeva of actually overcoming his Gaiva and remembering and reminding himself the Teva, you know, Balgaiva doesn't owe gratitude to anybody, just to himself. The chances of that happening, of his making a turnaround and thinking of Yosef in a compassionate way, is next to zero. It's close to nil. Shoeif la'efes, as we say in modern Hebrew. And therefore, Chazal considered this a violation of the Chiyuv Hishtadlus. I think, and this is where I want to close with two more points, and then the floor is yours.
There's also a question on this. I find it very hard to understand.
Yeah.
Because even though you're telling me that he says that the Rehavim, this Saramashkim, has got no chance, but that's that is a chance of doing something.
So that's what the Chazon Ish says.
I would have thought he would have seen it's the attitude that we said at the beginning. His attitude was that this guy can't possibly help me, but it's only through Hashem, right? But he transferred the trust he should have had in Hashem, and he said he will help me. As the act was permissible, but the das in his lave was wrong, that I can accept. But you say,
Rabbi Morris, when you say Hashem will help me, according to the Chazon Ish, what does that mean?
That this
how will Hashem help?
This man is no. instrument of Hashem, and I.
No,
have
that's
to
not the Chazon Ish. That might be true. That might be true from the Beis Halevi's perspective. From the Chazon Ish's perspective, is we believe Hashem will help us, but how will Hashem help us?
Only through the natural order. Only through something
that's predictable. If it's not predictable, then that's Ein Sof Chalanes. And once it's Ein Sof Chalanes, it's defined as a Maisa Yesh. It's not predictable. And it's a Pu'ula.
Sha'ena
Muteres.
Let's take a practical.
Isn't that fascinating? I'm telling you. I'm absolutely fascinated. It gives a whole other perspective.
A person wants more building rights to a property he has, which is a natural thing, right? So he goes to, you know, puts in all his plans, making all this kind of thing, and he goes to the mayor. He sees the mayor at a party somewhere, and each of the mayor is a typical guy like this, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he just mentions to him, you know, without any bribery, just do me a favor, an extra flyer.
What's behind this marshal? I don't know.
Money. There's no money. He sees him. He says, "Now, this guy's a, let's say by definition, let's say he's a bald guy, a typical guy, who's saying worry about himself. Now, is that wrong? What he did?
That's
according because he knows Hashem grants the building rights, but this guy is in the power, and he says, I believe in Hashem will do. But I'm just going to mention this to him.
So again, if the percentage points of success, the predictability is very low. Then the passage says that it's a pula asur. Hashem works through the natural order. Do you see, Rabosai, how the Chazanish is so antithetical to the Beis Halevi? The Beis Halevi is, you know, putting on it. He's putting on a whole different perspective. His glasses, his spectacles say the following. You know what? Hashem will take care of everything. Everything. Nebuch, you know, you're not on that level, so we'll allow you to do a little Ishtabas, right? You do Ishtabas, but according to Chazanish, it's not like that. The Chazanish says Hashem works through nature.
According to the Beis Halevi, you can ask, where's the Chazanish with a brother?
You don't talk about that in the
Beis Halevi. He's right, because the bribery will increase the chances that naturally you'll get to be spot. Now, I don't know if bribery is always mutter. That might be awesome for other reasons. But assuming bribery is mutter, then that would give it a din of pa'ulas ishtabas amuteris, because that also jacks up the percentage points of success. But again, go ahead.
How about Chris says, bro, what was Avram doing wrong?
Wait a second, Tony. I didn't even think about your question yet, but I just want to tell you that I'm not sure Avram did anything wrong. Go again in Rashi. Well, let's say you want to know if, let's say, the Chazanish would accept the Ramban. Let's say so. Okay. So what was Avram's? Let's analyze this case according to the Ramban. Avram Avinu got it seed from Hashem to live and settle in Eretz Canaan. Then there was a Rav. So why was he packing out? Why didn't have bitachon? I was a Rav. It's a family. So what about his chiyuv pulas ishtabas here? You're right. Excellent. Let me think about that. It's a brilliant question. He hears kasha. It's a brilliant kasha. I have to rethink it. But again, before we rethink it, which we should, but I just want to ask the oil, because I tell you, this is very new to me, this whole thing. I believe that the Chazanish is coming with a whole fresh approach to Muna Bitochon, and I want to see if I can convince you that it's in the words of the Chazanish, and the whole issue comes to the fore in understanding where was Yosef's error. Why did he overstep his bounds? And he was punished 2 extra years. But what I see in front of my eyes here, and I don't know if you see it or not, is 2 different worlds. The world of the Beis Halevi and the world of the Chazanish. They're 2 different worlds. The Chazanish is sanctifying nature. I just want to point out the Ramban, and we can talk about the Ramban, but I have a Ramban. It's the most famous Ramban al Torah. I didn't discover this Ramban. I only added it to this page. It's the last Ramban in Parashas Bo. And the Ramban says, "Umin anisim agdolim amufursomim adam moda benisim anistorim sheheim yisod haTorah kula sheein li adam chelik b'Torahs Moshe Rabbeinu at shenamin bechol dvareinu bechol mikreinu shekulam nisim sheein b'hem tevo min hagashal olam bein b'rabim bein b'yachid." The Ramban says there's no such thing as a miracle. Everything that happens is a miracle. Teva is an S. This is famous. I mean, you all know this Ramban. This is the elementary, but the most famous Ramban. The Ramban says that God works through nature. If I would place the Chazanish onto the shoulders of the Ramban, I think we're seeing a consistent approach. God wants me to work through nature. That's so antithetical to the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says Chas V'Shalom, everything should be Bitochen. From the Beis Halevi's perspective, the Parshas Haman, you know, the Haman flowing down from the heavens, that's your paradigm of Bitachon.
You should be sitting and learning 24/7 and not worrying about where your next meal is going to come. The man is going to come for Shalayim. Okay, you're not at that Madrega, so we'll give you a license, never. Not the Beis Halel, not the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is talking about a mitzvah, chiyuv of ishtadlus. He's talking about the obligation. Yosef was obligated to do ishtadlus. The question is, does nature provide you in a logical framework of cause and effect that's working with probability theory, the possibility of, through your ishtadlus, achieving your goals, saving yourself, protecting yourself, providing for your family? If it does, then that's exactly what you have to do, and not because of some b'di'evit, because of some heter that we have to give you mitom shel lishma in order to rise levels. No! From the Chazon Ish perspective, the attitude is the ikar. The mitzvah bitachon is in the heart. Understand that everything that happens naturally is because God works through nature. Every natural occurrence is a nes. Okay, it's a nes nistar, but says the Ramban, a nes nistar is a nes nigla, just that we can't see it. And acknowledge God as He gives you and provides for you in every way. Says the Chazon Ish, but Adkan, where's the limit? Ain't some chenalines. If you're working within nature, that's fine. But if you do an act of desperation, that somehow, maybe, then you know what? You're better off with bitachon. Because once you start with acts of desperation, that's going to have such an education, that's going to have such an impact on your soul, that you're going to begin to believe in all those forces that God didn't even create within nature. And some of those forces are psychological. Yeah.
So according to Chazon Ish, since the likelihood of being able to support a family on 2 hours of work a day is very low, I'd be over my chiyuv to only work 2 hours a day. Until I'm already in a situation where I can only work 2 hours a day, then I'd be over the chiyuv of Shabbos.
Right. Why? Because you would be violating the principle of Ein Somchan Al Nes.
So
the Ein Somchan Al Nes, according to the Chazon Ish, sets the limit, the red line, for relying on teva, for relying on a pu'ula which will bring a result. Once you pass that point, ain't something on this, what are the chances that after 2 hours a day of work, and let's assume you're a regular worker, you're not, maybe, if you were a psychiatrist, Dean's not here today, but I don't know what they charge you in Israel, but in America, for an hour at a psychiatrist, so lying on the couch, you know, to have this chus of lying on a couch, you got to pay $500, you know, for that. So maybe 2 hours a day, that's, you know, 2 times 5, that's maybe you need 4 hours a day. I don't know, but there's some dentists. I have a friend who's a dentist who works a half a day. And he supports his family very, very comfortably. Not only that, even when you're on his chair and he puts that suction cup in your mouth, he's giving you divrei Torah.
They will do. They will do.
I don't know, maybe it's South Africa, but I think that's only here in Eretz Yisrael. I'm telling you,
and they just make it. His dentistry is good, but he's different.
So then the other way around. So we were talking about students that went to law school. So now the oil that they put themselves in, if they want to make it, they're going to have to work 8 hours a week. So that's the only they put themselves in. Their trade now is, it would behoove them to do
well. That wasn't what I had intended to convey to you when I gave that example. I mean to say they go to very extreme situations in order to get back into the middle. Meaning, a lawyer doesn't have to make $250,000 a year in order to support his family, correct?
Right.
But, you know, if he doesn't make law review, if he doesn't make Harvard law review, he's going to have it's going to be challenging for him to make that kind of money. So that, you know, I think the Chazon Ish would talk about living a life that's comfortable. Now that's a whole other question about we didn't discuss today. What's Dei Machzor Asher Yetzalo, according to that society, where it comes from. You know, that's a whole different thing.
How are you putting the Ramban into a Chazon Ish?
No, I was saying, it seems to me that there's a very a natural affinity here between the Ramban and the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is telling me that all my chiyuv pe'ulos or shtalos are within the natural framework of cause and effect and what we can expect and what's probable. Teva now, nature now becomes elevated to a chiyuv ishtalos. I would say that equation between teva and a chiyuv ishtalos is very, very reminiscent. It almost reflects the Ramban's approach. You see, the Rambam, which is not a discussion for us today, but the Rambam, especially in the Mor Nevuchim, has a whole different approach. I mean, he believes that, you know, pretty much everything is left to Teva. You know, it's a whole other rational approach to the Rambam. But both the Beis HaLevi and the Chazon Ish are on the Bitachon. You know, they're riding the wave of Bitachon. I think in totally two different ways. Whereas the Beis HaLevi will say that Ishtalos is Nebuch. You know, that's what we have to do. I think the Chazon Ish's intonation is it's a Chiyuv Ishtalos. And that's a tremendously different attitude. The Chazon Ish is not telling us, you know, at every step of the day, you take a step, and now analyze yourself. Are you holding? Could you have done it differently? Could you have done less ishtadlus? And, you know, the whole, you know, Beis HaLevi sees life as a chain of mere ishtadlus. At every second of the day, I have to be my ishtadlus a little bit more until finally I reach the level of Ashri Agev Shabbat. That's not the Chazon Ish's approach. No way, no how. The Chazon Ish is talking about doing it the way we do it. And we have to do it the way we do it. And we have to measure everything according to the laws of Teva, of cause and effect. However, don't do acts of desperation. Acts of desperation are going to lead you to believe in that desperation. And that's already a mess. And ain't so going on this.
I'm not sure if you're passing
Tosfos
Misha or Rashi, but I'm not sure I'm convinced we can do it the lines that we skipped. The second, third.
Conveniently.
Yeah. I made sure to read those as you those lines, he says exactly the points that we, the highlights that we said are the main emphases of the Beis HaLevi. He says that.
Which lines, just so we'd be on the same page again?
He says, and he talks about measuring each step. Before you take it to make sure it fits with the
shadow. Just again, don't, if you don't mind, just so that I can push it for my eyes. I gotta. What page are you on? Four?
One last page.
Okay. Yeah.
After the first few words, first of all, he says, Ikrai, Bitachon, and then he continues, we stop and then
Mitzvos Hamasios. Right. But again, he specifies what the Mitzvos Hamasios. He says, Bechove shall minia mi pu'ulos neged chaver. In other words, oh, that line, I think, is going to be explained in this entire paragraph. In other words, what I would say to you, Dov, is the following. There are two lines here that we want to call our attention to. One line is, Bechova shal minia mi pulos neged chaver. Let's take a pause here. Here, I think what the Chazon Ish is saying is that if you want to take bitachon into the world of masim, now, where does this midah bitachon express itself in actually answering the question, how should I behave? The answer is in my relationship to you. Why? Because if I invade your, you know, there's something called free competition, but up to a point, if I invade your ability and impinge on your ability to get the parnasa that you need, because I think I have to grab a piece of the pie, so then the halacha will say, lo tasig vul reyach. Yeah, and that's nice. Now we get to the second pair. Okay, we'll see it afterwards. Then he says, "Yesh bazegam gedorim bepulos shel shtalus amutaros." He, at this point, I think what he's referring to is that there is a hishtadlus that is acceptable. There is a hishtadlus that's not acceptable. What is this hishtadlus that's not acceptable? That's if he uses emtsaim miyuchadim. What does that mean, emtsaim miyuchadim? The word miyuchadim is the flip side, the antithesis of teva, of nature. He uses emtsaim, meaning means that are very special, meaning very unlikely. That's what I would say miyuchadim means. And then we could go on and on. I just want to, Rabosai, end with a little bit of a chassidish part. Because it's always nice to hear a little chassidish. And connect this to Chag HaShavuos. There's a Mishnah Rav Nechunya ben Akona, which is the first source on page 1, in the third parak of Avos. And we're not going to go through the whole Mishnah. There are many different parts to this Mishnah, but I want to call your attention to one or two phrases of the Mishnah. He speaks about Hamakabel Olav Ol Torah, which means he accepts upon himself the dedication to Torah study, and that's what Shavuos is all about. And then he says, one who reaches that level of a true and genuine sincere Kabbalah Sol Torah, Mavirim Mimenu Ol Malchus. Okay, what that means is beyond the purview of our discussion today, what Ol Malchus is. But then he says, the Ol Derech Eretz. And I have no doubt in my mind that Ol Derech Eretz refers to exactly what we've been discussing today.
It means the pressure of having to put food on the table, and every Jew suffers from this. There's always insecurity about how we're going to do this, and how we're going to pay our rental, and how we're going to pay our educational fees. And then, you know, in America, for example, I've had parents who come to cry to me that they can't pay tuition. Why can't they pay tuition? Because they have three children in Ivy League colleges, and the total tuition for three children in Ivy League colleges topples 150 grand. Rabbi Osler, do you have any hasaga what's going on? No, it's on the average, a year in an Ivy League college is above 50 grand a year. So how can I pay you, Rabbi Berzon, $20,000 for sending my son to your yeshiva? And he's got to get fed three meals a day. And he has to have a roof over his head. He has to have a Rebbe in the morning, a Rebbe in the afternoon, a Rebbe at night, and a couple of kolchav rusas during the day, spliced in. And we have to send him on tiulim, which are home tofot. And we have to do this for him and do that for him. How can I pay you $20,000 when I'm sending my three children to Ivy League colleges? You know what I'm saying? So this is the pressure of the American Jew. You know, this is the old Derech Eretz. And I say with the Nebuch, that parents are crying about tuition in yeshivas, and there's a whole new movement in America in order to solve the problem of high tuition in yeshivas. And what they're doing is they're creating free schools that don't violate church and state, so that they can be called a governmental school, and they give them some religious instruction, but it's still a secular non-this, and it's a whole dre, and it's going on in teenage now, and I'm telling you, it's going to rip apart the whole Jewish community. Because unless you put a young child in a yeshiva environment, forget it. I'm telling you, and I say it with the pain in my heart, the chances of his becoming a frumi yid are very low. So all this stuff about tuition, again, it gets me sick to the stomach what's going on. But again, that's a whole other discussion. But these are the Nebuch, all Derech Eretz of the Jews in America, because they're under pressure. This is high, and that's high, and everything is high. In Canada, it was very bad, but not education. Canadian education is a giveaway. It's a steal. They pay you to go to college there. There's a college called York in Toronto. They pay you to go to school there. But it's not like that in the States. But everything else in Canada, forget it. It's like, you know, like the Mishnah describes in Sota, you know, the time of Mashiach, everything is inflation. You know, you want to buy yourself a bag of peanuts, they pay $20 for it, whatever it is. So anyway, this is the old, but there's one secret. There's one method, says from the Chuyim Ben Akana, of solving your problems of all their parents. Hey, we should have people lined up from here to, you know, like till the end of the state of Israel, you know, waiting to hear. You know, how do I? The answer is to be makabel on yourself all time. And it really throws an entirely different light to our whole discussion. And I want to end with the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe I found in Yena Shel Torah on Ovos, which is a good safe if you need a quick bark, you know. But he says in the name of the Kotzka, a very beautiful idea. It's very short, you know, the Kotzka was known to be very short and precise. What he would say in one word or with one move of the nose, it would take us a month to say, right? He says, Ma'viru mimeno sa'ol, afilu b'shosha oseku b'derech eretz, ein olam ol. Imagine the man is at work, and he's in finance or whatever, he's in stocks, and there's pressure every second, you know, buy it when it's high, buy it when it's low, everything. Even at the moment that he's dedicated to all their parents, Mavirim Ben Asol, he has a whole different attitude to his work, because he realizes he has to do what he has to do, but not to exaggerate. He doesn't have to do any acts of desperation. He doesn't have to stand on his head. He'll do what's natural and calm, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless him, because as the Chazon Ish, I think, would say if he was here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works through nature. Everything is a mess. You have to be sumach on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll take care of you. Don't do acts of yeyush. Don't get too extreme. Even when you're involved in older events, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift from you that oppressive pressure feeling of the all of Derech Eretz, because you understand very well that you are doing what you have to do, and according to Chazon Ish, it's a chiyuv. But Hashem will bestow on you His blessings. He wrote some for Avinu Shoshmayim Shnizocher to fulfill the mitzvahs of Emuna and Bitachon and Ishtachlus, which is also a mitzvah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us with Kol Tuv, Kei Yi Ratzon.
Amen.